G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by Mazda, 60 years in the making. It's the Mazda 60th landmark event. Secure a landmark deal on Mazda BT50 4x4 dual cab XTR. Celebrate at your Mazda dealer or visit mazda.com.au. Today, it's the 2-minute warning where we spend 2 minutes on each team. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Leave a rating, leave a review and hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Hardball Gets AFL. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rean, joined by Ryan Daniels and Xavier Ellis. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, very good. It's a big day in Australian football, the Australian football world. Polly Farmer, we just heard Polly Farmer's died.
Polly Farmer's passed away.
84 years old.
And he's been battling Alzheimer's for quite a few years now. But it's a really sad moment. Significant figure in the game.
Oh, one of the most significant. He suffers from modern bias in the way that not many people under the age of 40, you would have even seen him play in any way. Probably under the age of 50 even. Mm. But anybody who's of that era describes him as better than anyone they've ever seen. Better than Gary Ablett Sr. Better than Wayne Carey. Mm. This is how good he is. And it's hard to grade players from different eras. But some of the stuff that he was doing with the handball and the ruck craft.
Yeah, well, it's always mentioned how he changed the game with his handball, didn't he?
Correct. I heard a story on the news just before, actually, how he used to work in a car yard. And he'd wind all the windows down in the car yard, and with his footy, that'd be his target. Like walk around from distance, aiming through car windows and stuff to like
with the handball,
really fine tune his handball.
Yeah,
but I've heard a few things through. Would you say grandfather-in-law? So like John O'Connell is my missus's grandfather. So obviously played a lot of footy with Polly against Polly. Sorry, not with against Polly a lot, but the conversations like when you talk about those older generation players. And when you hear like the names, and it's a bit like the NBA, you know, you've got LeBron, and you've got, you know, the people you only say, but you know who they are by their
Jordan.
First. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like Polly, everyone knew straight away. He was like, he'd tell conversations, and rather than referencing someone like in footy terms, we say Patrick Dangerfield or whatever. When you're big enough that people just know who Polly is,
it's still the case, isn't it?
It's still the case.
Well, for those not listening in WA, he's got a freeway.
Did
so. What's about 15 years old now? The Polly
and it moves and it moves better than that dump of a thing that runs through Melbourne, the Monash. It works pretty well.
It leads to the stadium if you drive in a certain way.
Yeah, it does now. Yeah.
Now, before we kick on, the question is: there's only one statue outside up the stadium at the moment. It's Nicky Widmer.
Oh, he rolls into one.
It has to be, right?
Yeah,
it has to be. And it's the perfect timing to do it.
Like, there's probably a few iconic pictures that you can recreate.
Yeah. Who else would you? Yeah, the big handball or something.
Yeah.
Who else do you think, off the top of your head, would be deserving of a statue?
I think if you're going to look at one from the WA clubs, I think that Peter Matera is one that I've always thought would be the right one from a West Coast Eagles point of view.
Why is that?
I think he was the guy who, that game in the 92 grand final where he kicked five off the wing and there's some iconic pictures and iconic sounds from that moment. And that was sort of the time where I suppose the AFL was stamped. It's now a national competition. The flag and the cup has come west. In my opinion, he's the best Eagle of all time, although you could debate that all the way through.
One I throw up is Simon Black. In terms of WA footballers who went
on. For a statue.
Yeah, he's probably one of the most accomplished WA footballers.
Yeah, he left at 17.
But Polly Farmer left at one point.
Blackie was an absolute megastar, but I'd expect a statue at the Gabba.
Yeah.
Of Blackie as opposed to.
I think there'd be about 15 to 20, maybe more ahead of Simon Blackie.
Yeah, see, I think that's funny. Yeah.
40.
You reckon? Because you don't care they don't count him as a WA product.
I've worked it out. The Queensland bias. I've got it, mate. Do you want him in his Brisbane Lions?
Just because I saw him nailing that challenge on Survivor. And
throwing one.
Yeah, he just destroyed him.
I think if you're talking from a Fremantle perspective, obviously their greatest player of all time is Matthew Pavlich. And then Nat Fyfe is now bringing himself into the conversation.
I think there's a lot more. Probably Maurice Rioli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is one of those ones too where we can think of so many good statues that you put out there, but you really got to park it for 15 years, don't you?
Correct. Yeah, that's the thing.
And then let the legend build
say
on
with
people.
The Pavlich Fyfe Matera guys. You need time for that.
If we're going back, the two that stick out of my head, like history, are Maurice Rioli and Stephen Michael. Stephen Michael never went He briefly touched down in Geelong and thought it was too cold and came home.
Yeah,
He was right. But those are two who are up there. Anyway, we should get stuck into this. So he's let's kick it off.
It is. He's got to get back in amongst the
news. There's a bit going on today. right, we'll kick it off with Adelaide.
All right, so Adelaide, they say, you know, played well on the weekend. I thought West Coast held them at arm's length all game, and the inside 50s were dominant to West Coast. Pick swap, pick three for pick 10 with Carlton at the moment. We all know that. Have any of these players, so keep, cut, or trade, all right? Keep, cut, or trade.
Keep, cut, trade. Go.
Gibbs.
Keep.
I try to trade, but I think it's cut.
You can't get rid of him.
No, Jerker.
Cut. Just keep him.
No.
No, not at all.
No. He's been dropped like 8 times this year. What are you doing?
I don't think that's out of form.
You come to an agreement where Jenkins, you pay him out.
Jenkins. So thinking where Adelaide are, they're sitting ninth on the ladder.
Trade.
Trade, try and get rid of him.
He can get anything for it.
McKay.
Cut.
Otten.
Cut.
Douglas.
Keep. Pat on the keep back some and say people.
Thanks for the memories.
You got to keep some people.
Yeah, I'm just saying, well, but I don't think you do, mate. They're ninth.
Just clear
cut.
It out.
Cut.
Talia.
Keep for sure.
Walker.
Cut. Keep.
He's your captain. You can't
I don't care. He's been terrible this year. I was stunned to know that he'd kick 38 goals. Stunned to see that he'd somehow got his tally up to 38.
The source? Jacobs?
Trade.
No, I keep him because I like the him and O'Brien duo. One of them's
always last two, Eddie Betts.
Well, they've already said they're going to keep him.
Okay, and Greenwood.
Trade.
Okay, so they're ninth, and on the weekend, most of those players played, apart from Greenwood and I think it was just Greenwood in the end. Jerker, who's down the twos. They've got to start again. There's got to be a complete overhaul.
Can I ask how the hell Darcy Fogarty...
We went through this on Monday. The most goals he kicked in a game in an 8-week spat was one goal.
Yeah, okay. But he could just be one of those guys that plays better when he's around better players.
He probably is.
So I'm thinking pick three, you got to keep, and you got to trade them out to see what you can get. You're 5 or 6 years away from anything with that list.
Absolutely. Restructure. I mean, we talked about this last week. That's the list that you'd either most want or least likely want if you were running.
No, you got to cut them.
Brisbane, okay. Two different hats on, which is a debate. And whether you believe it or not, this is what you have to debate. Nick Rinn, we're going to flip this on you.
Oh, okay.
Tell me why Brisbane can't win the flag. And X, you can have a think while he's doing that. Tell me why they can win the flag. Mr. Negative Brisbane, let's see if you can pull this off. Go. You've got 40 seconds.
Well, they're inexperienced. They're up and about young team, but confidence only gets you so far. Confidence is just a feeling, as Ross Lyon have told us many times. And then they've got to win at some point. They're unlikely to finish top two given the last two games, so they've got to win on the road against a very good, very up-and-about team. So that's why they can't make it.
You've still got 20 seconds.
I don't believe it, mate.
All right, we've got a hater over there. The case, we probably should have flipped the seats the other way because I don't think they actually can win the flag. But why they can, Harris Andrews, you just know it doesn't matter which forward player's on him, he's not going to kick goals. So automatically the opposition starting potentially 3 or 4 goals worse off than what they have throughout the season.
Yep.
I think their midfield, Lachie Neal, it's got pretty solid depth, but not outstanding depth. But if Zork goes in there as well, Lachie Neal, and Zorko. There is a match winner. One of them are match winners, and not many teams have two out-and-out match winners like they do. I'd say even Richmond simply just have Dusty. I wouldn't put Cotchin or anyone in that. West Coast potentially have got Shuey and Yo, but I mean, Yo more does the grit and grind stuff as well. I think their forward line's pretty versatile, multiple options. Charlie Cameron, do you want to put all your eggs in that basket? I'm not particularly sure at the moment, being a small forward. But
it's the least convincing.
But it is working at the moment. So they're a pretty level playing field across the entire board.
My last question is...
And youth and excitement does a lot.
That's true. And this is where I think I'm leading. If Brisbane somehow win this flag, and then you look back at the previous three as well, are we in the age of chaos? Like in terms anyone of who can win the flag? That's it then. At that point, anyone can win it, right?
Well, I think from now, the GWS and Gold Coast situations, now they're part of the league. They're just a shit lot of teams.
Yep.
All right, Carlton. So what would Stephen Cornelio realistically do for the Blues next year? Is he going to ramp him up? Is he going to accelerate the progression that much?
If Carlton get Stephen Cornelio and they keep their other guys, and let's say they draft okay and they maybe get another couple of dudes, they'll play finals.
You think they'll play finals next year?
Yep.
So they're at Cornelio.
I reckon next year Carlton's going to hit that phase of Brisbane, where maybe not as good as Brisbane's done this year, but the phase where How fun is this? We've got young guys, they're talented. We've got Cripps and we've got Cornelio leading the way. We've got some older guys around the edges.
Yep.
How fun is footy? And no one expects us to ever win. So suddenly we've won 12 games and we scrape into eighth spot. If they get Cornelio, that's what I'd be expecting. I think it'll turn that fast.
I don't. You're paying him $1.4 million. So what's Cripps and Cornelio on?
Well, probably two and a half between
them. Yeah. So there's your salary cap. Good luck bringing players to your football club. If they continue that, they'll be mediocre. What happens if Harry McKay becomes an absolute megastar?
And they can't pay.
What happens if Charlie Curnow becomes a megastar? What happens if Sam Walsh wins a Brownlow in his third year? You can't pay these people that much money and expect
to be a
good
team.
Can
we take a left turn on this and say, so in the NBA with the salary cap, to keep your own guys, you can go over the salary cap. So you just have to pay a tax, essentially. So if you're Carlton and you have set this up so you've suddenly got six superstars you need to pay, should you be able to go over the cap? And then that restricts you from bringing anyone new in.
No, stiff shit. Just become a good team that you're friends with your teammates and you really want success more than you want your money.
Yep.
People take less and then you can continue bringing people in.
Do you get that before you get the success or is that after? Because, I mean, the ones that we hear about are Hawthorn and Geelong, they sort of won a flag to kick it off and then everyone took less. Do you think you can do that before you win it?
Well, no, because they're no good. So they've got they're not paying anyone now. But if they're going to be good, Harry McKay and them need to be stars. If they don't become stars, they won't be any good.
Collingwood.
So Jamie Elliott, okay. Obviously, he's missed an absolute ton of football last few years. He's literally just played his 100th game, which surprises me. Jamie Elliott has, in the last six games, only kicked three goals, going at less than 10 disposals a game. He's a very, very highly paid player at that football club. He's twice been the leading goal kicker. Is it time to move on, Jamie Elliott, or do you still put your eggs in his basket?
I think you still put your eggs in his basket. So how long is it going on his contract?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that depends. He's still, like, when he's out there, he's very good, and they can't, like, depends what, like, I don't know what you...
How many games has he played this year?
He's played this year. He's played most of it. He missed a stat through the middle, but he's played... 13.
See, I would have said that this year you almost just want to play as many games as possible and you give him a pass on the form. But I'm also of the belief that I think because of all the injuries and the way footy moves so quickly, I'm not sure Jamie Elliott is what Jamie Elliott was.
Well, you put Dugowie back in there.
Yep.
And then you put the punter.
Yeah.
Jaden goes back in.
Like, is he any better than Josh Thomas?
That's more my point.
Yeah.
But if he goes back to another club where he's going to be the number one again, not the number one, middle size small forward.
Yeah.
Is he better suited that way as opposed to, because Collingwood have put their eggs in the Dugowie basket and in the Jaden Stevenson basket. And you can see now how important those two were at the footy club.
Yeah.
Is Jamie Elliott more, not a list clogger because he's obviously got
he's
talent.
He's a salary cap clogger.
But he's twice been leading goal kicker, so he's earned his crust. Well,
you're probably playing him double what you pay Josh Thomas. And they effectively dish out the same result.
Well, effectively. I mean, going grand final day, I'd rather Jamie Elliott
running
out, knowing the potential of what could happen. But he's just definitely not getting the same looks as what he used to, because Cox, Mychek, then you put in the 55,000 middle-sized forwards that Collingwood rotate through there, Brown, Dacos. I just don't think he's that much better. I reckon he's better to go somewhere else.
I'd like to see him somewhere else. Essendon, after that display on the weekend, which... I couldn't stop watching. I was flipping between that and the Bledisloe. Like, it was just hard to watch. But for all the right reasons, it was great to watch. Is there a universe where John Worsfold is coaching the Bombers next season? Is it even possible at this point? Like, even if they do scrape into the eight somehow and lose a final and that's it. Like, how does it continue now? That was the nail for me.
That game, so regardless of what happens after.
Yeah, then he's not going to get sacked today because there's still two games to play and they're sitting in the finals race.
Is this going to be their third or fourth draft without a first-round draft pick?
Oh, something like that.
So
yeah.
It's go time for them.
Yeah.
They're absolutely go time, and that just showed on the weekend they are nowhere near go time.
No, they've been selling the future to accelerate the present. And you cannot... This is kind of what happened with Carlton. Remember back in the day with the salary cap breaches and they lost those draft picks?
Yeah.
So then they kept trying to bring in older guys to speed up the process. And I feel like Essendon sort of did a version of that after all the stuff with the peptides.
But they've attracted enough players.
Yeah, good ones.
To make finals.
Yeah.
But they haven't attracted... Like Dylan Shield, good player.
Yeah.
Devin Smith, good player.
Good player.
Yeah.
Stringer, good player. But I don't know. For mine, they're not...
Well, there's no great. We've talked about this. Their best player is Zach Merritt.
Yes.
Yeah, you and kind if Zach Merritt's your best player.
You want to bring those guys in to complement the superstar that you have on the
bit,
list.
Yeah,
you?
Absolutely. But, a little bit like the Bulldogs and that. Yeah. They tried to top up again with Cloak and those guys.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work.
So that we all agree, I think, that with their current mix, they can't win anything. So a new coach may be able to shuffle some things around.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to throw a coach under the bus, but he did so much damage to.
Yeah.
And he said, and I mentioned on Monday that him sitting on the bench just looked a little bit awkward to him, not doing anything. He's like, that was just a cheap shot. But
when
I just like
it
just,
when he clapped at that.
I would have thrown a drink bottle at someone's head or something.
Jeez.
Fremantle, Aaron Sanderland's hanging up the boots this week. Large boots.
18s?
Size 18s, yeah. When you look at them, they're just so weird looking too. They're like.
It has to give them specially made.
Yeah, like, yeah, almost like basketball shoes.
Yeah.
Anyway, was he the question I want to ask? So, was he the best ruckman of like post 2000? The one he matches up against is Dean Cox.
No, Cox is far better. But when you look at the other potential guys, you got Goldstein.
Yeah, no,
you've got like Jeff White. You've got Primus. You've got Lade.
Well, that's why I think the argument comes down to Cox v. Sanderlands.
Oh, there's a couple that are current. Brody Grundy.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, but I don't think he's quite there yet. Like, you need to have the full.
Yeah, Brody Grundy might Max be
Brody Grundy might. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about, let's call it this year.
Yeah, okay.
It's Cox by the street.
He was, and you get your Fremantle smile off your dog.
I'm just wondering. Wondering.
And I heard someone say he was probably two contested marks away
from
again
from being the best ruckman.
From being someone that really, really stood out. Mm. I always felt, and this may be something that was over East, that they didn't get bang for buck with Sandy in the ruck.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, because the opposition would always just know that he was going to win the hit too. So
no, correct. But for him to be the most dominant, they had to find a way around that.
Yeah. Mm.
When Fremantle at their dominant 2014-15 patch,
yeah.
They needed to find a way to work around clubs planning against Sanderlands. A la what?
Sam Mitchell sitting in the hole every time.
Well, a la, like, for example, Hawthorn, they found a way to get Buddy involved in a game by getting him up the ground.
Yeah,
they needed to try something else.
By phrasing the question the way you have ruined our chance to play testimony to Aaron Sanderlands.
Yeah,
you
now
put him up against Dean Cox.
A shit can of Paul
Bloke.
So
the question is he the second best ruckman over the last 20 years? So is he better than Lade? Is he better than... Let's exclude Gorn and Grundy for now. Is he better than Lade, Primus,
White? 8 seconds,
White,
yes, he is.
Ottens?
Yes.
I think he's the second best ruckman of the last 20 years.
Who else have we got? Quick.
King, Stephen King. It's pretty slim, pretty quick.
He is.
Jacobs...
No. All right, Geelong, well, thanks for pulling me into a ruck conversation. And talking about Geelong, Polly Farmer, good timing.
Yes.
So on the weekend, Geelong went without your All-Australian ruckman.
Yeah.
No Zach Smith, no Reece Stanley. Now, they lost the hitouts 45-20.
Who rucked for them?
Blitz Avs. Right. Started in the ruck. Okay. And then the flying Fijian. Mm-hmm. He did a little bit of backup, but it was mainly the blit. Now, so they got smashing hitouts. They won the clearances 47-27, Geelong. They won the inside 50, 62-34. Is that the perfect case to say, if you don't have Grundy, if you don't have Gorn, if you don't have, I suppose, Nick Nat, I guess, when he's available, maybe one or two more, put in just a good runner.
Yep.
Like I say in the waffle, I watch...
Your tallest good runner.
There's a ruckman in Subiaco who dominates, has 30 touches, 10 clearances, but doesn't win a head out. Mm-hmm. So put someone in there with a bit of height, and just run wild and see what you can do. Because obviously, Blitz Avs, you didn't have a lot of possessions either. But at least they knew what was going to happen.
I like him as, if it's not Stanley, it shouldn't be Smith. I don't rate Smith at all at this point. I think it's Blitz as backup. Because the thing with Blitz is too, if you're taking him out of what he does really well, which is at the moment, he's a fantastic defender.
Joel Best and Ferris winner down there.
Yeah, so you want him there. So I reckon Stanley in the ruck with Blitz as your backup is the best option.
So I reckon
Zach Smith shouldn't play
again.
That's
it. I reckon that's it.
Blitz,
you reckon Blitz Avs with
for Geelong
running
to win a flag, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
But who replaces him down back?
Oh, no, they've got that many people
down there. Lockie Henderson and...
Dirk Nowitzki's down there.
You play Dirk and Lockie.
But then, yeah, then you put in a Colin Jasny as a bit of a taller sort of bird, and you got your rebounders, Tui and Stewart.
Is he a good enough... Like, is he give you that notch of an X factor down back that you
that's
couldn't risk him in the right?
I don't usually watch a game and go, Blitz Savs is back. You
that and
you're
also
that dominant defender.
The Narkle inclusion, which we've been calling for, which
was
Gold Coast. So if you're listening to Caroline Wilson, and we have talked about this earlier in the year about Ben King already wanting out before he even got there. But then apparently when they got there, they were okay with it. Now there's some more reports he wants out. Been living with the CEO and everything. Look, it's still not enough to keep him there.
These kids need a bottle of Viagra and harden up.
So this is one where it's weird, because I'd heard that he was quite happy there. And in fact, they were happier than Saints. St Kilda.
Let's assume that he wants to leave, right, based for this conversation.
Yeah.
Don't you just trade him then? Just get a first-round pick. If you can get a first-round pick for him now.
What number, though?
Yeah, I think they've got enough. I still think that they've got enough.
Have you watched Ben King play this year? He's not that good. He's not even the best kid in his
family. Oh, he's shown a bit of talent later.
Yeah. So get a first for him.
I think he's shown enough talent this year that he's going to be a good player. But if you went to St Kilda and said, okay, we'll give you King.
Yes.
You give us Gresham.
Oh, nah. They're not giving up Gresham.
Okay, will you give...
Will you ask for the world?
Jack Loney or something is more likely. Than
you. Seb Ross, Jack Loney.
Or a Bill... I know.
Yeah. You've got to ask for the world, because it's his first year and he has showed enough.
I think they've got enough picks that if you don't get, like, you know, a super deal back for him, you keep him.
I'm starting to see Ducks' theory, though.
What's
go
that?
To Adelaide, here's Lukosius, give us a Matt Crouch and
pick
give
three.
Us a... Well, no, not even that, just players.
Yeah.
Give us players that will at least make us competitive, which will help King, which will help... Those young lads, like Fiorini, I didn't realise. Last week we joked around he wouldn't start and anyone else is 22.
No, he's good, like I was saying.
He's but he's un- he's still 21. Yeah. He shouldn't have to carry the workload of a midfield.
No. The Ben King thing to me is, like, if you don't want to be there, then piss off.
Fit in, Clarko used to say, fit in or off.
Yeah. I don't want these little whinging guys. I'm not saying he's doing that.
I'm not sure, because I think there's been a few people like.
But if he is, I'm like,
happened.
You don't want to be here, go and we'll get bang for buck.
Hopefully get bang for buck.
That's the problem.
All right, GWS. Why do people hate them still?
Who?
Is it a lot of people?
Who hates GWS?
Straight after that game on Friday night, like they piled on.
Oh, yeah.
No heart. You know, the gutless. They'll never stand for anything. So they got. So here's their injury list at the moment: Jeremy Cameron, Jacob Hopper, Sam Taylor, Finlayson, Deledio, Canelio, Kelly, and De Boer both weren't there. Like,
yeah.
I think so they have a couple of excuses.
Their starting midfield would have been Kelly, Canelio. Then De Boer, because he was doing such a good job tagging there
and
for
Hopper.
That period of time. Yeah. Hopper would have been on the bench coming through the midfield.
Midfield like, rotating.
They literally, and then their forward line, which we've worried about Cameron taking the load as it is.
Yeah.
Jono Patton still hasn't been mentioned on the injury list.
No. Finlayson wasn't there.
Finlayson wasn't there.
Their entire forward line
was
out.
And their best mid forward has to play in the midfield at the moment.
Yeah.
It was gutless, but I think we call it gutless because we saw Hawthorn smiling in the snow.
Yeah.
And we saw GWS shivering and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little bit like, oh, that's weak as piss.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The cattle simply wasn't on the field. And a smart punter would have looked at it and gone, oh, hang on. Why the bloody hell the Hawks $3? They're playing in Canberra.
Yeah.
They've got no players.
The conditions throw a spanner in the works.
And I think even, that cold, I couldn't stand the cold. I think someone asked Leon Cameron at the end. He's like, I don't think we even mentioned it. Like, it's not, I wasn't running around with my shirt off, but it's not like we were like, oh, Jesus, cold,
maybe
everyone.
Maybe you should have gone like just Starkets and done a full
just
to trump the shirtless.
But even like Jeremy Cameron's going to miss again this week, they reckon.
Yeah, well, he's a test.
But like, they've just had no luck. And is it something that they need to overhaul everything and just go, we've missed our window, I'd say.
Well, with those guys still, like, they're still
young. So
what you're
saying might be something to do with like their strength and conditioning.
Well, really bad luck, but
yeah.
You can't just keep saying bad luck. Eventually,
it's
like, righto, just throw everyone out of the boat and start again.
It's a shame because I feel like you're right. Their window is, it's not closing, but it sort of opens and then it closes like throughout every single year. It's really frustrating.
Jared Ruffhead Hawthorn. Now, there's a little bit of a similar path as you and Sandy in terms of where do they sit.
Well, we both came off the rookie list and had excellent careers.
He's not going to say, is he better than Buddy Franklin?
No, okay, yes,
because
I
that's
know.
Not what you do.
Okay.
Yeah, so like Ruff, twice two. People forget he ruptured his Achilles one year.
That's
and
right.
That is an injury that is rarely seen in football.
Yeah.
And that is like the NBA basketballers do it now. It's like,
you don't really
he might not come back from that.
No.
Yeah.
And then obviously cancer.
Yeah.
But where does he sit? It's 280 odd games, which and a Coleman medal and a couple of Australians, four premierships. He's in that group. So Jared Ruffhead's career, in your eyes, do you see him as the megastar or a mate? Like a couple of people I spoke to today, just like, oh, Ruffy, what a bloody good fella. Never met him, but they just love Ruffy. They like think they feel like you're mates with Ruff.
I think he's somewhere in between. I think he's not just a battler who was happy to be there and a good bloke. Because when he was up and about, to me, when I think about Roughhead's career, it'll always be him and Buddy, and how the hell do you stop both of them?
Yeah. Mm.
And being the perfect 1-2 punch in that forward line.
It was the best 1-2 punch we've had in ages.
Yeah, I don't remember another one like that you could bring up that's that strong. To me, that is the memory of Buddy, Ruffy the player.
Yeah.
And then when you add on all the stuff about him being a great bloke and being such a resilient bugger.
Playing in every line when he needed to.
Yeah, like, going in the ruck, going in the midfield, like going down back.
Mate, almost dying of cancer.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
And then coming back.
Something like, what year was the cancer?
About 3 years ago.
Whatever it was, the year after he played the most minutes of any Hawthorn player on the list.
Mm. Like, and then one of his bravest acts, wearing long sleeves in front of Clarko briefly.
Oh, yeah.
What you're saying is you hope that the fact that he's such a good bloke and such a soldier doesn't...
A lot of people always say,
don't forget the fact that he's a fantastic footballer.
Shit, he was, as you said, the 1-2, the duck-horse combination of our recent...
I'm glad he won a Collingwood.
Yes.
Really glad he won a Collingwood.
I think it was with 68 goals.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Melbourne?
Yep.
Ugh, really?
yeah, we're at that stage with Melbourne.
So, we've talked a lot about what went wrong for Melbourne. Can you tell me who their leading goal kicker is for the year and how many goals, roughly?
Is it Tom McDonald?
It's not Tom McDonald, but he's third.
Jaden Hunt?
He's second.
Is it Jack Melksham?
No, he's not even close. Oh. Petrarca, with 22 goals, is leading their goal kicking.
It's like Sonny Walters the other day came into the radio station and he was saying he won the leading goal kicker the year before. It was something like 22.
Like 24,
I would have said hand it back.
I think Kepler Bradley got it 1 year at Freo with like 25.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to go back and see the lowest goal tally we've had as winning a goal kicking. But Petrarca on 22, so he's probably going to have about 25. Jaden Hunt is second on 20. Tom McDonald is third, and we know he had a shit year. He on 18. Fritsch, who only just went forward, is on 16 goals. That's it.
Fritsch might grab them all, mate.
He might. And then if you go backwards to last year, McDonald kicked 53, Hogan kicked 47, Melksham 32, Neil Bullen kicked 27. All four of those guys have been a write-off this year for different reasons. I think, and we've watched Hogan struggle through this year with injury and form, and Melbourne struggle, I think that divorce there has gone so poorly for both parties, and both parties may never recover. We may never get to see the best of Hogan again for obvious and many reasons. And I don't think Melbourne can operate without him being there, because it ruined everything. It ruined McDonald. It obviously ruined the spot that Hogan was in. Melksham's been injured. Neil Bullen's dropped off a cliff.
Which line at Melbourne Footy Club do you try attempt to fix first? Forwards, mids, or backs?
I thought it was the mids, but now I'm looking at this going, they don't kick goals.
Mm.
Who is their target? It can't be Petrarca.
Is that a result of their mids being so bad?
Braden Pruce.
You're one of the most strangest moves in AFL history.
But what can they do to get a...
You can't play Gorn there. He just can't kick.
You just hope that Wiedemann somehow comes on like 30% in a year?
30?
40%?
Yeah. 50%? Maybe Max Jenkins.
But you look at Max.
Jenkins?
It's not the answer, but he's something.
Maxi Gorn trying his guts out too. Like, it really annoys me.
Yeah. North Melbourne. So, it feels like we had a bit to talk about North Melbourne-wise for a while, and that's dropped off. Their rookie Wilkinson, quit this week to go on the amazing race.
I saw that. Yeah, he wrapped it up. He went in and said, look, I feel like my position might be a bit scratchy for 2020.
I'll go on the amazing race.
I've been accepted the amazing. He flew out during the week.
Okay, well, for starters, well done for Tom for knowing where you're at.
Yeah, but he feels like he only got picked up last year and he's been injured, played 8 games. He must have been really down on himself. He's like, I'm no good. Or just really wanted to go on the amazing race.
Maybe he just must have been really bad.
Maybe.
Are we seeing a generational shift where being like reality star
going on Love Island
is better than a footy career? Like, you got to remember, these kids coming through now who are 17, 18, 19, they are in the age of Snapchat and Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's all that really
TikTok.
Matters.
Get on
likes,
TikTok, mate.
TikTok. I don't even know what that is.
TikTok's a new one.
Isn't that, or something?
Isn't it's come back.
It's a Kesha song, right?
No, well, it is a Kesha song.
What are we getting?
You just do it's like Instagram stories, but just Instagram stories. People do little challenges and stuff. So look out for Tom Wilkinson on TikTok, everybody.
Haven't
you been on TikTok?
No, it's horrendous. Tick, bloody TikTok.
TikTok, get on it, mate.
TikTok.
Used to be called Musical.ly. Used to sing longer songs.
We're doomed.
What world do we live in? Hey, Reece Shaw, just quickly. So we've run out of ammo on the
Tom Wilkinson. He's going on with Roosie's son, so there you go.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
That's some more information you should have added.
There you go.
That's definitely good. Isn't Roosie's son any good, or is he not any good?
No, I think he didn't end up. He probably could have gone to Brisbane or Sydney. I don't know probably how many games he played at each, but he probably had a couple of offers, but he was playing for Southport in the Neefle, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
jumped the gun massively on Reshaw, I
feel. Oh, didn't we say this? Why? Why did you have to do it? Why did you have to go 4 weeks early?
He might be the best person. He might well be.
Yeah, but who are you competing with?
You need to put your foot in the water.
He's very glad he signed the deal.
St Kilda was going to jump and take him?
He's very glad he signed the deal.
Kenny Hinckley and Port Adelaide. Yeah. So again, strange. Ollie Wine's named out. Then comes in. That's your captain. Mm. I mean, that's the person everyone's meant to respect. And
do you reckon Ollie knew that he was going to play?
Yeah, probably. But still.
Do you reckon there was a water skiing competition on the same weekend?
But what's the need to publicly shame your captain like that? They're outside the eight, or they're just inside the eight, eighth. There's signs that the ups and downs and, you know, what's happening with selection. Do you think that there might be a breaking point with Kenny, or you reckon?
I think if he makes finals again, you can't. Mm. Like, people say the key to winning flags is just being in finals all the time, and eventually you'll get one. And they seem to creep over the line.
Well, especially in the current climate, as we're talking about with Brisbane. Like, if you're just there, if you catch fire at the right time.
Oh, bullies are the best example.
Exactly.
Just catches fire.
I think if he keeps making, you know, seventh, eighth spot.
So Wines came in and had 20 and kicked a couple and played reasonably well in the wet.
Does it feel like there's Port seems to be heading in multiple directions?
That every week.
If you've got, we talked about Lysett, you're spending all that money recruiting Lysett, and he's played, from what you can tell with the statistics and from watching him, he's played pretty well all season.
And then
suddenly he's out, and you only just recruited this bloke, and you paid big dollars for him. So what? Who's making the decision to bring him in, and are they on the same page with the person?
But then Paddy Ryder plays all right, and then they've got this Laddams.
We're supposed to be trading Ryder, and then Laddams comes on.
I just find it all a little bit confusing with Charlie Dixon's up and down.
That's right. It's very confusing.
If they didn't find those kids and Travis Boak didn't explode on the scene.
Oh, I mean, who knows? It would have been gone. Horrible, like bottom four.
You're right. Without Dersmer and Rosie and Boak, those three things this season, if two of those things don't happen, there's no way they're in the mix for the eight, and the good news is not there.
And they've got North Melbourne Freo to finish, so you'd expect if they're half decent to go tick-tick. Yep.
And Zach Butters, I like a lot. Not that he's contributed on a massive level this year, but I really like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Who was their first pick, was he?
Second, I think. Second. Rosie first, then Butters, then Dersmer.
Are we on Richmond? Okay.
Yeah,
The two guys I kind of wanted to talk about that we don't talk about a lot. One is Shane Edwards. Fantastic in his 250th game. Mm. I couldn't believe he played 250 games because he still looks like he's 22. He's only 30. 27 and a goal and 9 tackles. And the other one is Jack Graham. Laid 14 tackles and kicked 4 goals.
Boost, didn't he? Yeah.
They don't win that game. They didn't play that well. Carlton gave it everything and they pushed
it. They played well early.
They did.
Was it three he kicked in the grand final?
Four.
And was a beast. So he only played four or five games at that point. Yeah.
Fifth game, I think it was. Yeah. I heard him on the radio last night. Yeah, amazing.
That's incredible. Like, if he can capture some of that form, we've already said, like, Richmond's the momentum team and they're going really, really well. That game is one of those games where you play ugly, the other team plays really well, and you still find a way to get it done.
Yep.
That's a good sign. Mm. I would rather see that, not rather, but I think you need to see that box ticked.
You need ugly games.
Yes. Yeah. You need to win the ugly game because sometimes it's going to get ugly, and you need to do it. This Sunday is a grand final preview.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant, isn't it?
Right?
Is it 11 o'clock?
It's an early-ish one. It's not the late game.
Yeah.
Might be 1, might be 11.
Might have requested for the pub to open a bit earlier.
just to wander
on down and throw a few back early. But Graham, outstanding.
Yeah.
Titch Edwards, he was a nothing.
Yeah.
Essentially, like a small forward. Maybe. We always seen him play, but Titch Edwards had 13.
Then
it just clicked.
Yeah.
And
he's all Australian. He made all Australian teams.
He did, which a lot of people disagreed with. But I, in hindsight, I don't hate it.
I did.
You hated it at the time?
It's still
there. Yeah, I don't think he was quite at the level. So
Jack O'McRae and those guys missed last year.
Yeah, true. That was
bad. So brilliant player, brilliant career. And he outsmarted Cripps. And that's what I say about Cripps. Always hit to, always chasing the footy. It looks good when he gets it. Did you see that clip? Cripps kept getting sucked in and Titch Edwards just kept tapping the ball over Cripps' head to his opponent non-stop. Brilliant footy by Edwards.
Genius.
St Kilda. So there's a list of players they've been connected to, which is Greenwood, Brad
Probably
Hill.
Better to name the ones that they haven't been connected
to. True. Here's a short list of ones they haven't been connected to. Greenwood, Brad Hill. I'll probably leave Canelio out because that's not happening. So Greenwood, Brad Hill, Zach Jones, Adam Tomlinson, and Todd Goldstein.
Mm.
What's the priority if you're Saints?
I think we talked about Brad Hill if you can get him, although I worry that you're going to have to pay far too much.
But he's a very good player.
And they've got the money to spend at the moment, don't they?
So who
are their better players? Are Billings and Gresham? they're not the same as Brad Hill, but they're runners and they're outside guys.
I did see on the weekend a much better looking St Kilda team when Jack Stephen wandered in. Yeah. Dan Hanbury was How sitting in
Jack,
there.
Jack Stephen looks like a park footballer now.
Mate,
right.
Does. Yeah. He does. But
carrying a bit of keg.
All of a sudden, Jack Billings is in the same hit out. Marshall's a good ruckman.
Yeah.
You think, actually, that is what they've missed
all
year. And it looked much. And they only beat Freo, who didn't play well, did they, on the weekend?
No.
They had five.
They don't play well.
But yeah, they had five, really, and that was it. Five for St Kilda at some stages. But I think it did look a lot better. I think Brad Hill's the extra one, because then Jack Billings can go forward, mid. So he can end up with those games where he kicks six, or he has those games where he kicks 30. And I think that could be the difference. Seb Ross on another wing as well.
Yeah, I think you can add another dynamic midfielder. It's Brad Hill.
Why are they chasing ruckman? I don't get it. So the Essendon player that's never played before just refused the
Draper.
Yeah, Don Draper. Didn't want to go.
And then they've got
has
they're
anyone
chasing
made the whole Essendon Don Draper thing link yet?
No, there you go, mate.
There it is.
Nah. And then they've got
wait for your trade period on 7 years per
Goldstein as well. But like. Yeah. Have we spoken about Marshall being the best young ruckman of the comp?
Yeah.
Yeah, he nearly broke his leg in half on the weekend, comes back and smashes the last three quarters.
So I don't get the the need to chase an old.
Nah. Go get one out of the waffle of VFL if you want a backup ruckman.
Yeah, like,
you
don't spend money.
Got your number one.
Tom Hickey type, which, by the way, you already had.
Yeah, you had it. Sydney Swans. Sydney. Now, Josh Kennedy from Sydney, what a tremendous player he has been. Mm. Where can Josh Kennedy play on the field that's elsewhere when he gets older?
I always kind of liked him as like a pinch-hitting sort of half forward.
So I've likened him a little bit to Matt Prittis.
Can't play anywhere else.
I don't think so.
That couple of weeks when they were trying to make Prittis a half forward.
So Pritter in his last year before he retired, so his final season, had averaged 25 and 5 clearances.
Mm.
And then it just ended.
Yep, off a cliff.
Josh Kennedy, I fear, with his inability, he has to play midfield.
Yep.
And the issue with people are going to play midfield, kids need to play midfield.
Mm.
At what stage? Yeah. And Josh Kennedy, these 9 years or something, he's finished top three in the best and fairest or whatever. It's something ridiculous. Just worry the JK, he might have one of those years coming up where he has to sort of hide in forward pocket. You can't keep playing him midfield if you've got the kids like a Mills, Heaney. They're going to draft again.
Well, they may never put Mills in the midfield.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What are they doing with Mills? He's not negating. He's negating now.
So at this point,
I'll just draw the comparison
kinda,
to a
Kennedy
Pritter
just kind of holding back that next wave. What are you worried about?
Well, I just think West Coast made the decision. Pritter could still get a game in every team in the competition in the midfield.
Yeah,
Josh Kennedy could still get a game in every team in the competition.
Yeah.
But for West Coast to have gone a step further and win the flag,
he had to go.
They made the decision to open that spot up to get someone else go through it. And I just wonder whether even maybe Luke Parker might need to be traded or something.
Could he be a poor man's Sean Burgoyne? Or you don't think he has the defensive skills?
No,
he
doesn't move like that.
No. I like his power through his kicking, though. He's a powerful player.
Oh, so powerful. Yeah. Extremely powerful. And a megastar. And I'd love to see him keep playing, but I just don't want to get to the stage where he becomes Pritter.
Yeah,
and goes
he's being
heart,
shifted into roles
forward flank and forward pocket. And
West Coast,
yeah,
okay. He's probably not yet, but it's not going to be long before Willy Rioli is in the conversation as the best small forward in the AFL.
He's already
Charlie Cameron.
He's already in the conversation.
Eyes. No,
Charlie.
To me, it's Charlie Cameron.
It's a one and two.
And these are the other names.
Fat small forwards. Willy can have a crack. I love Willy.
Charlie Cameron, Tom Papley, and Luke Bruce. I think are the three at the moment. That you would say.
And if you're picking them, I'd pick Cameron then Willie.
Yeah. You'd take him over Bruce.
I would take him over Bruce now.
Just because of the age difference. And I think the thing about
Rioli. So you're saying, again, grand final day this year, you would rather Willie than Luke Bruce?
Yep. Willie won West Coast that grand final.
Won them the grand final?
Was that his last stop, the last centre bounce down where he put on, he stopped Collingwood getting the clearance, and then he was there 2 seconds later tackling in the goal square.
You are talking to the number one member of the Luke Bruce fan club, though, remember?
Yeah, I know, I do remember this.
He feels about Luke Bruce the way you feel about the entire state of Queensland.
Yeah. But Willy Rioli, I'd just love to see him get a little bit fitter, and even like it might not help.
It might not happen.
He moves so well, but he still carries a bit of pull.
I think at the moment he's one of the top 10 players to watch in the AFL. The little deft touches, like the tackles that he lays.
Before we keep going, can we just clearly state that Charlie Cameron's a class above
everyone. Yeah, he's
number one.
He's number one. Daylight, though.
Yeah. He's in perfect form and
cool. Yeah, we can keep going.
You have the conversation, you rule out Charlie, and then you go, well, who's next?
Who's next? Okay.
And you think, is it Papley, is it Bruce? I've mentioned Eddie Betts just out of pure respect.
The tip rat.
There's no way. Yes.
But no way.
I was trying to find guys who spend all of their time in the forward 50 and a little bit of time in the mid. So it was kind of hard to get those guys right. But in terms of permanence.
Because now the really good ones have become midfielders, like Sonny.
Gresham, Billings, those Dillings, types that were forwards, they're not now.
Yeah. And even Papley's sort of trying to go down that path.
I just think he's fantastic. He was so good on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm so good. So love Willie. Western Bulldogs, do we think, and this is going to say it every year, and because they've done it before, do we think if they scrape in, they're the ones you don't want to play in the first week if you finish?
No.
No?
No, it's daylight. There's four teams.
Yeah, I know. But if you finish 5th, 6th, you don't want to play.
So who's finishing 5th? Say GWS, right?
Yeah. If I'm GWS, I play Bulldogs first round. I'm a little bit...
Could they win a final?
Yes.
Quite possibly.
If you're GWS and you can play the Dogs, the Bombers, the Crows, or the Power...
Yep.
Who do you least want to play?
Dogs. Probably Dogs.
Yep.
I'll take Crows first.
Bombers. Give me the Bombers.
Mate, you saw what Essendon did on the weekend, and they're injured.
Give me the Bombers.
Yeah, I know.
Then the Crows, then the Power, then the Dogs last.
Yeah.
Because when the Dogs get their confidence up,
they're
out.
Pricks, aren't they?
They're so fun to watch, man.
And like, I think they've picked up as their young kids have grown in confidence through the year, they've gotten better and better and better.
Josh Dunkley.
Yeah.
Something along the lines, and I'm probably wrong here, but like the most games with the total 10 coaches' votes this year.
Yeah, right.
So he's had 5 games where he's had full votes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's equal most, Josh Dunkley. And he only started in the back half of the year getting them.
He's been incredible. I cannot stop raving about Aaron Norton. Every time I watch him, I'm like, holy crap, this guy's 19.
But English, Tim English.
Yeah. It's nuts,
and
man.
Your man?
Who's my man?
Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Bailey Dale. He looks fantastic. Bailey Williams.
Yes.
All the Baileys. Bailey's not. Williams isn't playing, I don't think, at the moment.
I just think their back line probably a little bit temperamental.
That's the thing they need to fix, don't it?
Well, I think Norton was supposed to be that guy.
Yes.
And then he turned out to be a star forward.
He was supposed to be the forwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Norton's gone forward and they've gone, oh, holy hell, he's really good as a forward.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to be
We've always believed in him as a forward.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We always thought he should be playing forward.
So I coached a game against Aaron Norton, who had a shot after the siren at Colts level.
Yep,
and it almost hit his knee. And he was not a forward at that stage. I'll give you an honest tip.
He's come on.
Oh, that's done.
What about I did hear? So just like Dale Thomas hasn't been offered a contract at Carlton.
Yeah,
surprising
because he would have taken peanuts, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, half peanuts.
Yeah.
I thought he's been pretty good, and I also wonder. Why you're making that decision now?
Without a coach,
without the coach.
Yeah.
If you bring in, let's say they brought in Ross Lyon somehow. Like,
please,
wouldn't
please
you want to say, "Hey Ross, do you want Daisy or
do you
not?"
Want Dale Does Thomas he fit sitting into on the your, back pocket? Yeah.
Like, it's got to be a unless they think it is Teague and that Teague's part of that conversation.
Maybe says that Silvani's not going anywhere. They assume Silvani was going somewhere, but he maybe that's some clubs operate like that, and particularly because he seemed like the big dog there.
Yeah.
In that coach. So he's still list manager.
So if Dale Thomas,
still make that decision.
Yeah, right.
Dale Thomas gets the arse.
Yep.
And there's no coach. Do they then say, Kate Simpson, thank you for your 300 odd? You're also not welcome.
Yeah. Like,
it's a really strange timing.
He'd probably come out and said that I've been given the to generate some interest.
Maybe, So I think these conversations
Gold Coast
these days happen.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be a good one. Gold Coast.
Daisy?
Yep. That'd be a really good one.
Why not?
Is Daisy, Daisy
Wolf?
Was he in that famous?
Who is
Gibson Powell, though?
But he was in the Vic Country.
Yeah, he's in the Vic Country.